So we're holding on some halach omer aleph by the Mishnah. Previous Mishnah talked about you have two things that have to be done to certain korbanos. You have tnufa, which is waving them, and you have hagosha, which is presenting them. You touch the keli containing the mincha, the corner of the mizbeach. The previous Mishnah mentioned that you have four types, since you have two things. Some korbanos require one and not the other. Some require both. Some require neither. There are four categories. And so the previous Mishnah mentioned that pretty much all the menachas require, hagosha, not tnufa, with the exception of, we said Reb Shimon said the ones that are the minchas koinim and the minchas koin mashiach. There's no kmitza in them, therefore there's no hagosha in them. So now our Mishnah is going to continue with the other three categories. Even though the Mishnah had started by saying, ultimately they have nothing to do with each other. They have, we tried to say that maybe there's a connection between them, but we said that not.
So what is the determinant of the...
Whether the Pasuk says it, whether we learn it, whether the Pasuk says it, or if we derive it by one of the Midrash, Shachar and Midrash, then. So now, the previous Mishnah was talking all about Menachos. This next Mishnah is going to talk about other types of korbanos as well, because the concept of Hagosha applies only to Menachos, but Tnufa applies to other korbanos as well. So the Mishnah starts off, Elo tonis Tnufa ve'in tonis Hagosha. The following korbanos require Tnufa, that they have to be waved, but they don't require Hagosha, they don't have to be touched to the corner of the Mizbeach. Lug Shemen Shom, number one, Lug Shemen Shom Masoda, the lug of oil that the Masoda brings with his korbanos. We'll see in the Gemara that the pasuk implies that it needs to be waved, but it's not a mincha. It doesn't need hagasha. The ashamari and also the osham of the masara.
You have to wave the lug.
You have to wave. You wave it. You wave. So we're going to talk. Well, no. So we're going to talk about what tnufa consists of. With certain korbanos, tnufa consists of waving it in all six directions like a lola. Yeah, there's different understandings among the Mephoroshim, among the Afronim, talk about, does Tnufa, in the case of other things, also mean in all six directions, and just the Gemara is mentioning over there a particular Karbana to have in mind that only applies to certain Karbanas, or is it that maybe not all Karbanas, maybe like the Lug Shem and Shem Asura, it doesn't have to be waving in all six directions, maybe it just means that you pick it up and wave it somehow. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so those things, that have Bikurim Kedivir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and a third thing that needs Tnufa is Bikurim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as we'll learn in the Gemara, that he holds that when you bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, they need to be waved. Also, the Emurim Shalmi Yochid, also the Emurim of a Shlomim Dwarfayim. The Chum don't agree with that, as we'll see in the Gemara, right? The Emurim Shalmi Yochid, the Emurim of the Shlomim Dwarfayim individual, together with the chaz of a shoytzalan, together with the chest, together with the chest and the right front leg of the animal, all of those are waved together, and then the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach, and the chaz of a shoytzalan are given to the kohenim. But all those things need to be waved. Chaz is the chest. It's like this. The shoytzalan is the right front leg.
The right front leg.
It's not the whole leg, I don't think. You actually have a bit of discussion what portion exactly is considered the shoit, which I think we've talked about before is relevant also to the question of tznius. When we say shoit be'isha erva, does it mean the upper leg or does it mean the lower leg? So, yeah, I don't remember actually when it comes to
the upper leg.
No, because not necessarily. You have one, some postkim understand that shoit be'isha erva means the lower leg, and that is why you have the accepted compromise in halacha, according to most postkim, is up to the knee, has to be cut down to the knee, has to be covered by a skirt. Below that has to be covered with stockings or tights or some such thing. Okay, anyway, the point is, that's the end. So all those things have to be waved. They all require tnufa, but none of them require hagosha. None of them have to be touched to the corner of the mizbeach, because hagosha is strictly for menachos. And none of these things that we just listed are menachos. Continues the Mishnah. Echad amnoshim ve'echad noshim. This that we say that these various korbanos require tnufa, that applies whether they're being brought by men or by women. The Yisrael v'loy ba'acherim. But the waving has to be done by Yisrael and not by others. We'll see in the Gemara what that means exactly.
Goyim?
Well, on the face of it, it means to exclude goyim, but we're going to see also, because we're going to see in the Gemara also that there's a difference between men's and women's korbanos as far as tnufa. We'll get to that. Wait. Okay. Another thing that needs tznufa is shtei alechem u'shnei kivtzei aser. That's another thing that needs tznufa b'na hagasha, is the shtei alechem together with the two sheets that are brought as the shalmei tzibur on shavuot. Those also need to be weighed.
What do they weigh from the sheet?
We're going to talk about that there's actually, we're going to talk about at the end of the Mishnah, Shimon's going to point out, and the halach was like him, and that's because nobody's arguing with him, that there's actually two wavings that are done with, one while the sheep are alive, and one after they've been shechted. Yeah. Okay. Case that who is that? How do you do the waving while the sheep are alive? You put the shtei alechem on top of the two sheep while they're alive. Then the Kohen places his two hands underneath the whole pile. And he does it back and forth and up and down, so in all six directions. As the Pasuk says regarding the Korbanos of the Miluim, it says that was waved, which means in the four cardinal directions, vashavuram, and that was lifted, meaning that it has to be done up and down. So we see that tznufa means in all six directions. Also Rashi points out, ashahuna fashahuram. So the point is, since you have the expression by the Miluim, it says that you should wave them as a tznufa, and then it says, and tznufa means waving them in the four cardinal directions.
So, north,
south, east, and west. So therefore, huram means to go up and down. So Rashi says also from that we learn for other tznufas as well that it means they have to be done in all six directions. Again, like I was saying, you have Mephoshim who understand that that's a general rule. Anytime you have a tznufa done, it means in all six directions, including with the various things that we mentioned before, such as recording and the log trench on the Sera. And then you have others who understand that no, with most of them you don't need that, only with certain things. The Shtei Alechem and then a couple of other things. Come on.
The Lulav, what do you draw the Nanarim?
So actually, Tosfos talks about it later on in some of the days, Amud Aleph, that the idea is, Tosfos says over there, that specifically, so that's the thing, Tosfos learns that we're not talking about necessarily this is done by all Tznufas. Tosfos says, we do it by the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot. We also do it with the Lulav. The reason is because the Gemara is going to say it has to do with the asking Hashem to give us good weather, and therefore it's only appropriate to do it with the Kovanas that are done at times when Hashem judges the world. So, Mephoshim also add the Korban Omer is the same thing as we're on Pesach when Hashem judges Pesach, Hashem judges us regarding grain, on Shavuos regarding the fruits of the trees, on Sukkot regarding rain. So therefore, those are the appropriate times to do it, not necessarily the other. All right. So, continues the Mishnah. Tznufa hoitzav mizrach. This tznufa that we're doing with the shtei alechem took place on the eastern side of the Azara. Now, Rashi says it doesn't mean it had to be on the eastern side. It could be on the west side of the Azara of the Mizbeach, which is even closer to the Heichal. The point is, Rashi says, all it means is it doesn't have to be on the west side, which is close to the Heichal. You could do it on the eastern side, even though that's further away. So he learns when it says Hoyt of a Mizrach means that it was able to be in the Mizrach. It didn't have to be. As opposed to Hagosha B'mayrav, as opposed to Hagosha, by definition means in the west because you touch it to the southwest corner of the Mizrach. Now you have the Rambam's Loshen on it actually is that the Tznufa is done in the Mizrach, which many of the Mephoshim understand that the Rambam means it must be done in the Mizrach, not like Rashi. And so they discuss why would that be? Why can't it be done in the Mayrav? So there are a couple of interesting explanations, including one of them is that because when you're walking through the Azara with the Korban, you go from east to west. Therefore, when you're in the east, then that's already a place where you can do the Tznufa. You should be doing it right there. Ein mavir in al-mitzvah. You're not supposed to pass over an opportunity to a mitzvah. So therefore, the Rambam doesn't mean it must be done in the east because you're not allowed to do it in the west. It just means as soon as you're in the east and you have the chance to do it, you should be grabbing the opportunity to do it. Right. You have other Mephoshim we talk about. Maybe there's a distinction between, for example, a mincha brought by an individual, not a mincha, whatever, a shlomim that's brought by an individual by Yisrael. He's not allowed to go to the west side of the Mizbeach. He's only allowed to stay on the eastern side in the Ezes Yisrael or at most the Ezes Kohen. Therefore, of necessity, it has to take place in the east because the Mishnah doesn't continue that he and the Kohen do the Tznufa together. Whereas for Korbanos, where only the Kohen do the Tznufa, then conceivably it could be in the west. You have a few different approaches. Okay. Anyway, so Tnufa can be in the east. According to Rashi, it could just as well be in the west, but and the Hagosha B'mayrev, the Hagosha has to be on the west. It has to be specifically on the southwest corner of the Mizrach. Continues the Mishnah. Tnufa is kodmas l'Hagosha. Tnufa, waving the korban, comes before Hagosha. Meaning, when you have, for example, Rashi explains, now you have, again, the previous Mishnah we mentioned, and we're going to mention it. None of these things are ma'akiv. No, the only things that are ma'akiv are the only things that are ma'akiv basically are the four avodas. It's not ma'akiv. It just means you haven't done the mitzvah in the best possible way. The Gemara is going to talk about later on Samach Bay is that you see that shnufa is that shnufa is called shiore mitzvah. It's like the leftovers of the mitzvah. You don't have to do it for the korban to be effective, but nevertheless we see how powerful it is that it causes that Hashem should give. That Hashem should give good weather. So we see that even Shiori Mitzvah are important, the Gemara says. Okay. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, as we learn, and then we learn the next line of the Mishnah says, Minchas Ha'omer or Minchas Knoi Hagosha V'Snufa, you have category 3, is the Omer and the Mincha of the Soja, which require both Hagosha and Snufa, because by both of them the Pasuk says that you have to raise them. So therefore, Rashi explains when the previous part, when it says snufas, kodmas lagoshes, that's what it means. With those korbanas, that you have to do both. First you do the snufa, then you do the hagosha. Then you continue with that, then you continue with the rest. You do the kmista, and then you do everything that you're supposed to do with the kodmas.
How do you know you do the snufa first, and then the hagosha?
So we'll see. Rashi says, because you see by the mincha of the sota, it says you should do snufa, and then you should bring it to the mizbeach, which is hagosha. So we learn from that whenever you have the two of them. You have also the Belva Brisker explains also Snufa's kodmas lagoshes, and then means in a more general sense. If a Korean has, if there's a korban waiting to have Snufa done to it, and there's another korban waiting to have Agosha done for it, the Korean should first do the Snufa and then deal with Agosha. Okay. So that's the Mishnah says, then Minchas Omer and Minchas Knois are category 3. They require Agosha or Snufa. Category 4, lechem aponim or minchas nesachim, ein tonus loy hagosha v'loy tznufa. The lechem aponim and the minchas nesachim that accompany a korban, those don't need either. They don't need hagosha and they don't need tznufa. So that's the fourth category mentioned in the previous mishnah. So now we have things in all four categories. Most menachos are in category 1, hagosha no tznufa. Certain other kinds of korbanos, such as the loig of oil of the masoda and the emurim of a shlomim of a yachid and so forth, require snufa but not hagosha. The omer and the mincha of the soda require both, and the lechem aponim and mincha of the tachim don't require either.
And lechem aponim, when do you offer that?
Yeah, every on Shabbos, you don't offer the lechem aponim itself. You don't offer the lechem aponim itself. Remember, you offer the bezitin, and then the lechem aponim is distributed among the kohen. Okay. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says he was a way of remembering what the rules are as far as tnufa and as far as smicha with korban. Gimel minin turn in gimel mitzvahs, you have three types of korban, where between them you have three mitzvahs that have to be done, but shayim b'chol achas b'achas b'ashlishis ein b'hem, or shlishis ein b'hem. Each one of them has two out of the three possible things. It's sort of like a Venn diagram. So like you have three events, a Venn diagram, you see, man, sort of with overlapping circles. It's called a Venn diagram. So like this, you have like a Venn diagram with three things that have to be done, but you only have, out of these three, you have three intersections because you have three korbanos, but each one is only where two of the things intersect. There's none in the middle that has all three things.
Two at a time, that's
two out of the three. Namely, the Eivahin, Zivche Shamay Yachid, the Shlomim brought by an individual, the Zivche Shamay Sivur, and the Shlomim brought by the Sivur, I'm sure, the Asham Mesoda, and the Osham brought by the Mesoda. So what is it as follows? So those are the three korbanos. The three things, the three activities that we're talking about are doing tnufa while the korban is alive, doing tnufa after the korban is shechted, and doing smicha on the korban. So it's like this. Zivcha shalme yachid tonin smicha chayim or tnufa shvotin. The shlomim brought by a yachid, you have to do smicha while the animal is alive, and then do tnufa with the chaz of a shoik and the fat of it after it's shechted. The ain ban tnufa chayim. But it doesn't have the third thing. It's not, there's no tnufa done while the shlomim is alive.
So there's two without the third one.
Without the third one, right. Zivcha shalme tibur, the shlomim of shavuos that accompany the shtei alachim. They require tznufa when they're alive and after they're shechted. They invent smicha, but there's no smicha in them because in general there's no smicha by korbanos tzibur, by most korbanos tzibur. And number three, the osha matzora throwing smicha with tznufa chai. As far as the osha matzora, he does smicha on it like a person does with most of his korbanos, and it has to have tznufa done to it while it's alive. The end by tznufa shachut, but there's no tznufa with it after it's shechted. So there's perhaps a Venn diagram, in other words, that each of these three korbanos has only two out of the three things. Right. Gemara starts off. Turn it up on. When the pulse, how do we know that the oshrim of the Masurah and the loig shemen of the Masurah require tznufa? Turn it up on. We learn it right. So when the pulse says, the hikriv oisai la oshrim ve'f loig ashram, and the pulse says you should offer it for an oshrim and the loads of oil, the hainif osam tznufa, and then the pasuk continues, you should wave them as a tznufa. So the fact that Rashi says, when it says the word vehainif in connection with the loig, that's loig hashem and vehainif, we can reread that as if it said that he should wave the loig hashem and melamed shetunin tznufa ke'echad. So that, but actually, since it says la osham ve'at loig hashem and vehainif osam tznufa, that means both of them melamed shetunin tznufa ke'echad. That means that you need to wave them both together. So you take the kohen takes the osham and the container with the loig shemen and raise them together.
Yeah, shem is what?
So it's an animal. It's a ram.
A ram.
It's a ram. Yeah.
You take the whole ram.
Yeah. Actually, is it a ram? No. An osham matzora. Sorry, is a sheep within a year old. Yeah, a sheep within a year old. Within a year old. So yeah, it's I guess light enough, and also the kohen were pretty strong. So yeah.
Yes, yeah, so take both together.
I guess, yeah, that's what we're saying. Well, maybe put the two of them in both hands. How do we know that if he waves each one individually, then he's also yotze? Therefore, we can also read the pasuk that it says he should offer it for an ashram and he should wave, implying that if Rashi says that loy gashom and behenif. In other words, we can also understand the word behenif. Even if we said behenif oisam, which means he's supposed to wave them both together. But we can also take the word behenif by itself and apply it as loy gashom and behenif, implying if you just wave the loy shemen by itself, and that's good enough. And the same thing with the ashram. Yoho yonif v'yachta v'yonif. So you would think that maybe what the pasuk means is he has to wave them together v'yachta v'yonif, and then he has to go and again wave each one separately, and that way Makayim goes to him. No, tamad loimach tshnufa, therefore the pasuk says he should do a waving v'loi tshnufois, not wavings in the plural.
Since you have,
it starts off, we have two ways of reading the pasuk. On the one hand, it's vehenif oisam, which implies both of them. On the other hand, the word vehenif is put together with the word loig hashemen, so you could understand that to mean that the loig shemen, the loig shemen can be waved by itself, and you go to that way. So you would think that maybe what the pasuk means to imply is you need to do both. You need to wave them together, and then you need to wave them separately. No, since it says tznufa, that means altogether there's only one waving. The pasuk goes like this: the hikriv oisa la osham vas loig hashomen, the heinif oisam tznufa l'tnei Hashem.
So you could think
that maybe the pasuk means to imply that you need to do both. You need to do a vehenif oisam, and then, but you also have, also, Rabbi Gershon points out, earlier in the pasuk, it says also oisoi. So you would think maybe it means you need to do two wavings, one together and one separately. No, it says tznufa. Then the pasuk continues, lifnei Hashem, and we say that means the mizrach, that means you can do it even on the east side of the Azara. That's also called lifnei Hashem. So the question is, v'ha'amrit lifnei Hashem yochol b'mayrev. Why? When earlier in our Masechta, we talked about Hagosha, we discussed where on the Mizbeach does Hagosha take place, and we said, since the Pasuk says lifnei Hashem, that seems to imply on the west side. That was the thing. We always assumed lifnei Hashem means in front of the Heichal, and then we said, yeah, because it says Al-Pnei Mizbeach, it also means on the south. Yeah, yeah. Okay. The answer is Amri, so they answer like this. Yes, but that's true as far as a mincha, where a mincha is compared to a chatas. Not only a mincha kodesh, even a regular run-of-the-mill mincha is compared to a chatas, because the pasuk says kodesh kodeshim hi ka chatas. And the chatas tuuna yisod. Yes. The chatas tuuna yisod. Now the chatas, we know, has to be, the blood of it eventually has to be poured onto the yisod of the mizbeach. And the keren midrimis mizrachis lahayla yisod. As we learned in Zvachim, the southwestern corner of the mizbeach did not have a yisod. Because the yisod, we learned there that the yisod ran in an L. It's facing the heichal. It ran along the west and along the north side of the of the mizbeach. It went like an L. Yeah, it went like an L shape. Well, it went like an L shape around two sides of the mizbeach.
Right.
We had different nuances over there. We talked about, did it wrap around the two corners? Did it just go stick out straight from the two corners? Did it maybe go almost to the corner, but not quite? Whatever it is.
Midra and.
Myrav and Sofen had Yisod. So therefore, given that the Chatas requires Yisod, and given that the southeastern corner does not have Yisod, therefore, when we say that the Mincha has to be presented Lifnei Hashem, then there's no choice but to say that it means that, and it says Al-Tnei, on one hand it says Lifnei Hashem, and on the other hand it says Al-Tnei Mizbeach. If you were to put it by the southeastern corner, fine. In a certain sense, it would be Lifnei Hashem. In a certain sense, it would be El Tnei Mizbeach. But the problem is there's no Yisod there. So in order to fulfill everything, to have El Tnei Mizbeach and Lifnei Hashem, and to have it by the Yisod, like a Chatas, the only way to do it is by the southwestern corner. So therefore, it's not that Lifnei Hashem can't mean the east. It's that because of the comparison of the Chatas, you can't do it on the east. Of the Mizbeach.
On which part of the corner? On both?
No, by the corner. In other words, he was in Mizbeach. He was in Mizbeach. Right. The southwestern corner is here. Say the Kohen walks over with the Keli and touches it to the corner. If this is the Heichal over here, and this is the Mizbeach over here. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So then in that case, this is the southwestern corner. So fine, he walks over and touches it over there. So that's the point. It's not that Lifnei Hashem does not mean any place in the Azara. It's just that practically speaking, there's no way to do it on the southeastern corner because there's no Yisod there. But in and of itself, Lifnei Hashem could mean anywhere in the Azara. Well, no, in that case, we have to prefer that it's neither Aval Hocha, but over here, where there's no such consideration, as far as Tznufa, because Tznufa is not compared to a Chatas, Lifnei Hashem, Kodin Abay, the east can just as well be called Lifnei Hashem as the west. Anywhere in the Azara, in that sense, is Lifnei Hashem. Okay. Then we said, so that explains how we know that the first two things of our Mishnah, that the Loib Shemin Shal Masurda and the Oshim of the Masurda have to be waived, they have to have Tznufa, and we see that, we see how we got that from the Pesukim, and we also see how we get what our Mishnah said, that it could take place in the East. Okay. Next we said, Rabbi Kudin Kedivra Belezim and Rakhir. Then we said another thing that requires Tznufa is Bikurim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we see Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov addressing this issue? So like this, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says V'loka HaKoyin, the Pasuk says that the Koyin should take the Bikurim from your hands, and actually the Pasuk continues V'hi Nichoy, he should put it down. So Rabbi Eliezer says, from that we see that the Bikurim requires Tznufa. How do you get Tznufa from that? My time is the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The answer is, Gomer Yod Yod Mishlomim. Because it says, V'loka HaKoyin, Atenim Mi Yodecha, from your hand, well, after all, that's not necessarily for the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Obviously, he's taking it from your hand. Where else did you put it? So therefore, he has a Gzeira Shava from Shlom. Siv Hocha V'loka HaKoyin, Atenim Mi Yodecha. Here the Pasuk says that the Kohen should take the basket of the Kohen from your hand. By a Shlomim, the Pasuk says the hands of the person offering the Korban should bring the Chaylev and the Chaz of the Shoyk to be waived. Meaning, Ma'kan Kohen, Aflahalam Kohen. So just like over here by the Bikurim, the Kohen takes it from your hand, implying that he's the one who waves it. Yes. By the way, Rashi elsewhere in Makos also points out the word behinichoy itself, he says, the word behinichoy, besides for the simple meaning of he puts it down, can also mean to lead it, like vayanchem levecha, for example. To lead it, meaning like to move it along.
Right.
Like vayanchem lech mecheyeton, go lead the people and move them along towards Eretz Yisrael. So the word v'hinichai can also be understood to move it along. Right, to guide it. That's the right word. Good. Okay, so ma'kan koyin achlahalan koyin. So just like over here, so in other words, what we're doing, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what he's doing with the Zera Shavav is he's learning from Bikurim to Shlomim and vice versa. Yeah, this Zera Shavav is teaching us in both directions. Ma'kan koyin, just like here with Bikurim, the Pasuk is saying that the koyin is the one who raised it, because he takes it from your hand, behimichai. Achlahalan koyin, the same thing. When it comes to a Shlomim, the koyin.
If he has to be facing when he's there. That it has to be a Kohen, and Israel couldn't do it.
First of all, who said it was there? Who said he was facing the Mizrach? This is Bikurim I'm talking about.
Where is Bikurim done?
The Bikurim are done in the Azara.
Anywhere?
Yes, Ashtas. Ashtas are done in the area of the Azara, where the Yisrael can go. Okay. The Pasuk there also says that you should put it, Lif Neim Yisrach Hashem Alekecha. That doesn't necessarily mean next to the Mizrach. It means someplace in the Azara. Maybe it means a little closer, whatever. It doesn't have to mean right next to the Mizrach. Okay, anyway, the point is that just like Bikurim have to be raised by the Kohen, so also the Chaz of the Shoik and Chalev of the Shlomim have to be raised by the Kohen. On the other hand, we also use the other way around. Since by Shlomim, the Pasuk says, Yod Dov to Vienna, the hands of the person who owns the Korban have to bring the Chalev and the Chaz of the Shoik to wave them. So Malahalim by them, just like over there, the owners do the waving. Akan by them, the same thing. The owner has to be the one doing the waving of the Korban. So what is it, the Kohen or the owner? Okay, so how do you accomplish both? Kohen maniach yodei tachas yodei bailim. The Kohen places his hand under the hands of the owner, umeinif, and then they wait. Now what does that mean? In both cases. Now what does that mean? So Rashi Ksavyam later in the Masechta explains, it means exactly what it sounds like. The owner holds the basket in his hand. The Kohen puts his hand directly under the owner's hand, so their hands are touching, and together they wait. Tosfos over here argues with that.
How can you do that for the...
For the Chaz of the Shoik? Same thing. The owner holds the Chaz of the Shoik and whatever, and it's big. Okay, so maybe that's why you have two people doing it. But whatever, he holds it in his hand. The Kohen puts his hands underneath, and together they hold it and they wait. Tosfos has a problem with that, because Tosfos says that then you're going to have chassitzah. The whole point is, we're saying that the Kohen has to be waving it. How can you have that the owner's hands are going to be a chassitzah between the Kohen's hands and the cave? Yeah, Bachronim talk about maybe because
the Kohen's hand has to be underneath.
That's what we're saying. The Kohen's hands are underneath the owner's hands, and there's going to be a chassidah. And that's not going to help. The Pasuk is also saying that the owner has to be the one doing the chinuchah. So you'd have the same problem if you did it the other way around. So Tosfos has a problem with that issue. Yeah, Bachronim talk about that maybe since the Torah says it has to be that it's not considered a chassidah. But anyway, Tosfos themselves don't like that idea. They understand what we mean when we say the Kohen. This that would say, Tosfos has a problem with the chassidah, therefore they understand what the Gemara is saying here differently. The owner holds the top edge of the basket, or the chaz v'shoik or whatever, and the kohen holds it underneath. Okay. So that way their hands are
occurring, but what about the
No, animal? Same thing with the chaz v'shoik, same thing. Same thing, one holds this part of it, one holds this part of it. So therefore, so there's no chassidah, both of their hands are touching the thing directly. Okay, Tosfos, on the other hand, points to a Yerushalmi in Sota that talks about, we said in our Mishnah that the Mincha of the Sota has to be waved. And the Yerushalmi asks, and the Sota is, of course, a woman. The Kohen is a man. So what happens to the, what has, that's not Sneas Gif. So and the Yerushalmi talks about that, maybe, one second. No, so the Yerushalmi says over there, maybe Daphne, you have to make sure an old Kohen does it so that way he won't appear, or maybe not, even if it's a young Kohen, it's only a momentary thing. But anyway, so Tosfos says, on the face of it, that seems to support Rashi's position. Because if you're learning like Tosfos, that she holds it here, and the Kohen holds it here, what's the problem? However, Tosfos says, even then, you could argue that still you're working together to hold the thing, and it is likely that their hands are going to touch side by side. So that Yerushalmi could be approved to Rashi's position, but it's not definitive. Okay. Anyway. So that's what it is. The Kohen and the owner hold the thing together. In the case of the Bikurim, the basket. In the case of the Chaz of a Shoik and the fat, it's a pile of stuff, as we're going to say later. Okay. Fine. So the point is, we see from this Braisa that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that Bikurim have to be waived. So that's when our Mishnah said Bikurim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's what it means.
So
what do we disagree with? So the question is, why are we saying Davka then on Mishnah? Why is the Mishnah Davka mentioning Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Let it also mention Rabbi Yehuda, who also holds the same way. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Yehuda omer v'hinachto is tznufa. Rabbi Yehuda says the word v'hinachto refers to tznufa. Well, no, that's the Rashi and Matthew, so but it explains that one reason we can say it means tznufa is it means guiding way. After omer tznufa. Now you're saying that it means. That means waving. Oh, in El Hanocha, maybe it literally means putting it down. Maybe it just means you put it down on the floor or whatever. No, true. Omer v'hinichoi, because no, if you in the next pasuk, you have two different pasukim over there. V'hinachto is later on after you make the whole declaration. Adami Yehudavi, etc. The pasuk is v'hinachtoi. Earlier it says the koyin takes it from your hand. V'hinichoi hare hanocha omer. So that means putting it down. So therefore, if it says again behinachtoi, it must mean zutznufa, then we must say that it means snufa. So the point is, we see, so Rabbi Yehuda darshins it differently than Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and you have some of the Mefarshim understand that he's actually arguing on the details, is it the Kohen who does it or is it the owner that does it, but basically he holds it requires snufa. Why does our Mishnah not mention his opinion?
He says that
you have two times. It says behinichoi and it says behinachtoi. One means putting it down and the other one means doing snufa. But the point is, our Mishnah is not getting into that level of detail. Our Mishnah is just saying that you have Bikurim required Tznufa according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why doesn't the Mishnah say Bikurim required Tznufa according to Rabbi Yehuda? For both, yeah. The answer is, Amar Rava Hoyu L'Pasach Vayakos Tzchila. The answer is, we mention Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov because he learns it from the earlier mention of it. He learns it from the word V'hinichoi in Pasach Galad. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is learning it from Behinachtoi, which is later on in Pasuk Yud.
What's that?
Again, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is not learning it from the fact that he says Behinichoi and then Behinachtoi. He's learning it from the fact that you have the Zera Shava from the word Yod.
Right.
So therefore, he's learning it from Pasuk Galad. So therefore, the Mishnah prefers to attribute this opinion that Bikurim requires Snufa to him rather than to Rabbi Yehuda, who only learns it from a later Pasuk.
Okay.
That's one answer. Rav Nachman Yitzchakama, Hoyol V'Rav Guvra. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says another reason is because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is particularly powerful. He's a great chacham. He's very wise. Rashi mentions, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Tav Benachim. What Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says in Mishnayot and in Braisos, there's very little of it, relatively speaking. But it's Naki, it's clean. It's like Tav, there's only a small amount. But Naki, it's clean. In other words, the Halacha is always like so therefore, the Mishnah prefers to mention his opinion as if to imply the Halacha is like it, and the Halacha is in fact like him, right? So it's true, Rabbi Yehuda holds the same way, but we're not mentioning that because the Halacha isn't always like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah that Emure Shalme Yachid, we said other things that require Tznufa are the Emurim of the Shlomim brought by an individual, the Chaz of a Shalahan, together with the breast and the thigh. Echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim. Now this is true of both men and women who bring a korban. V'Yisrael, and this applies to Jews. Avaloi ba'achedim, but not to others. Yeah. So what does that mean? Ma'ikoma, what does that mean? Amar Yehuda ha'chikoma. Rabbi Yehuda says this is what it means. The point of the question is, on the face of it, when the Mishnah starts off the same, whether men or women, but then it says loy ba'achedim, so that implies, in other words, women don't do tshinufa. So do they do tshinufa or do they not do tshinufa?
Why is it the same as the women?
Because like this, if you're saying the Yisrael of Aloy Ba'acherim, it sounds like you're trying to make an exception. If it just meant Goyim, it would have said the Yisrael of Aloy Ba'acherim or something. So Omer of Yehuda, Hachkama, what the Mishnah means is like this. Echad ha'noshim ve'echad ha'noshim korbanon ton tnufa. Whether a man or a woman brings a shlomim or any of these other types of korbanos, they do require tnufa. But with tnufa asma, the Yisrael, however, the tnufa itself can only be done by a male Yisrael, avaloi bidei noshim. It cannot be done by women. So in the case of the mincha or the soita, that's different. There the pasuk says that the kohen and her wave together. Right. But in general, that's the only one. That's the only one. So we're saying that in all the other cases where a woman brings a korban that requires tnufa, we're saying in that case, either the kohen will do the tnufa by himself, or you have some of the Akronim talk about maybe she can have her husband do it, maybe she can appoint somebody else to do it, whatever the point is, but she doesn't do it. So why not? Tonon Abanon, we learn in a Braita. Well, we're going to learn in a Braita. Tonon Abanon, we learn in a Braita. when the Pasuk says that the Pasuk starts off when it describes this concept of Snufa, it says Dabra Bnei Yisrael Lamer. So it means like this. Number one, Bnei Yisrael Menis, and the word Bnei Yisrael means only Jews do Snufa. They ain't over to the Chavim Menis, and Goyim do not do Snufa. So if a Goy brings a Korban, and again, we discussed before, and we're going to discuss later on Ayin Gimel, we're going to talk about the question, can Goyim bring any other Korban other than an Ola? If all they can bring is an Ola, then that's a moot point. An Ola you don't do Snufa to anyway. But if Goyim can bring a shlomim or a mincha, as we discussed before, and we'll discuss later, then, a mincha not, because most menachos you don't do knuffa, but a shlomim, if Goyim can bring a shlomim, then we have to ask, we're going to have an opinion later on that Goyim are able to offer a shlomim. We had a discussion about it at the end of the last 10 minutes. So if we say that Goyim can bring, that Goyim can bring a shlomim, then the question is, can they do knuffa? And the answer is, our braisa is saying they cannot. They cannot. In other words, Shnufa has to be done to it, but they are not the ones to do it. The Kohenim would do it for them, or they'd appoint somebody else to do it on their behalf or whatever.
Similarly, the Bei Korban doesn't have Shnufa.
It's that they can't do it. Right. Similarly, Bnei Yisrael, Menifin Ve'en Anosha Menifin. Similarly, the word Bnei Yisrael also means, so many times, the Darshan Bnei Yisrael can mean not Bnei Yisrael, so only men, not women. Sometimes Bnei Yisrael means the whole Jewish people. We have some discussion about it. Tosfos discusses it a bit over here. There's other places where it's discussed. One thing is there may be a difference between Esses and Loisa says. In general, women are higher than most Mrs. Loisa says.
When did we start Bnei Yisrael including all?
So we actually had a Gemara in Kedushin a couple of years back, which discussed a number of these things, Smicha and some other things, because the Pasuk says on the Bnei Yisrael, that means that women don't do them.
Have you ever had a Brach or a Mishnah including men and women?
No, so I think we also had in that Gemara in Kedushin, we had that the Hishvakot of Ishul Ishlach or Anshin Shabbat Torah, that when it comes to all the laws that says and their accompanying punishments in the Torah, that there when it says Bnei Yisrael, it does mean both men and women. So that's one distinction that's made, is between Esses and Loisas says. When it says an Esser, then unless otherwise specified, it means Zavka men as opposed to by Loisas says, those include women as well. So then another explanation that since over here, not only it starts off with Bnei Yisrael, but then the rest of the verbs in those sukkim are also in the masculine form, so that means Zavka, it means only men, not women. So the Pasuk continues, Dabra Bnei Yisrael, remember, Hamakriv, the one who offers, at Zevach Shlomov Lashem, Yobi, he should bring, as Korban Lashem, the Zevach Shlomov, Yodav to the Yenor, his hands should bring, as Ishi Hashem, as Chedav Al-Khazi Yivi Yenor, etc. Yeah, so you have a bunch of masculine verbs over there. So that, together with Bnei Yisrael, yeah. Okay. So that's what it is. Bnei Yisrael Manifin, but Bnei Yisrael don't. Again, they would have the Kohen do it for them, or they'd have somebody else do it together with the Kohen for them. Okay. Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says on this. Let's analyze that a little further. We see that the Torah makes a distinction between a korban brought by Jews and a korban brought by goyim regarding smicha. We see that the Torah makes a distinction as far as smicha, where the Torah also says that regarding smicha, Dabar of Bnei Yisrael Lomer, Odom Kiyakim, Mekam Korban Lashem, and it says the Samach Yodah, you should do smicha. So we learn from that the same thing, that smicha applies only to Bnei Yisrael, not Bnei Yisrael and not Goyim. So we see that smicha doesn't apply to their korbanos at all. Says Rabbi Yosi, Yochel Nachlik V'Tznufa. You would think the same distinction should apply as far as Tznufa.
Because
you would think the same thing. It's a Zabu Abnei Yisrael. So the same thing, now when we say women don't do smicha, we don't mean the korban requires smicha, but somebody else has to do it. We mean no smicha is done on such a korban at all. As opposed to Tznufa, we're saying that the woman herself can't do it, but she has somebody do it on her behalf. What's the difference? Yachol Nachlik with Tznufa, so you would think to make the same distinction with Tznufa, that a woman's korban or a goy's korban should not require Tznufa at all. The answer is Lois. No, that you don't make that distinction. because the difference is mali cholak the smicha. The reason why we make a distinction with smicha and we say men do it and women don't, shas smicha b'baylim, because smicha dafka has to be done by the owner. There's no such thing as delegating the smicha on a korban to somebody else. So Rashi brings from a gemara later on in Amos after that we learn that from a pasuk that he himself has to do it.
The owner.
Since women and goyim are excluded from Bnei Yisrael, then that's it. There's nobody else to take their place. Therefore, no smicha takes place. Nachlik with snufa. Why should we think to make a distinction with snufa? Shas snufa b'kayinim. Because after all, snufa is done by the kayinim. So therefore, the goy or the woman or the Jewish woman, lahatil, can make the kayinim himself a shliach for the purpose. Why is it a design for the Kohen? He's as it is. The Gemara actually discusses in various places. We learned it in Nedarim, we learned it in some other places. Kahani shlucha d'rachmana or kahani shlucha d'idan. The Kohenim fundamentally are shluchim in offering our korbanos, so are they fundamentally shluchim appointed by Hashem? Again, as far as Hilchos Nedarim, if you make a neder not to have hanah from the worship of the Kohen. So yeah, and, you know. But the point is, yes, they, in a certain sense, they are shluchim. Therefore, so says Rabbi Yossi, the reason why we're treating smicha and snufa differently, and saying smicha, a woman's korban doesn't get smicha at all, but snufa, a woman's korban, that snufa has to be done by a kohen. The reason is because the smicha is not done by anybody else other than the owner. The snufa is done by the kohen, together with
and
the owner,
we
usually.
We know that the snufa is not done by anybody else, the owner, from...
No, it's not that the smicha is not done by anybody else. The smicha, because the pasuk says the samach yod doi, he should rest his hand, implying not somebody else's. So over here, okay, the pasuk says yod of Vienna, fine, but on the other hand, the fact is, we just said before, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov brought us a gzeirah shava to say that the snufa is also done by the kohenim. So therefore, so the part that remains with the kohenim. That can still be done. Therefore, im kein matam and lemon bnei Yisrael. So what does the pasuk mean when it says bnei Yisrael? It means bnei Yisrael manifin vein over the kachavim minichem. Minichem means the goyim don't do shnufa. Bnei Yisrael manifin vein anoshim minichem. Only Jewish men do shnufa. Women don't. So, but the shnufa nevertheless has to be done. And in that case, then it means that the kohen is going to do the shnufa on their behalf. Or you have some of the Mepharshim say that means maybe that the woman or the goy will appoint some other Yisrael, their husband or their friend or whatever, to do the snufa on their behalf together with the kohen. Okay, so that's what it is. Tanya idach. Then we learn in another braita. Then we
have a subject. It's the man or the woman. What happens?
Good question. The pashtos say you mean that's from somewhere around under. Okay. Good question. The pashtos, you wouldn't do it then because the pashtos, because I guess it's yes, it's not an act of the korban. Yes? Tanya, enough, we learn in another braita. Bnei Yisrael, when the pasuk talks over here about shnufa and it introduces it, dabar al bnei Yisrael, ainli el bnei Yisrael. Now, if we only had the word bnei Yisrael, you would think maybe it means only born Jews. And how do we know that the word Bnei Yisrael also includes Gerim and freed slaves? Okay, so that's the Tosfos actually discusses over here that you have various Gemaras that take different views about this. You have some in here and also Tosfos references a Gemara in Yevamos that starts off with the same assumption that Bnei Yisrael means only born Jews, and we have to have a Tosfos that says that it includes Gerim. On the other hand, Tosfos refers to some other Gemaras, Nida and Sanhedrin, and whatever, where no such distinction is made. So Tosfos says apparently there's some other ribui in those cases that the Gemara doesn't refer to that includes Gerim as well. And in fact, in at least one of those cases, we actually have in Sifri, it actually mentions a more words in the Pasuk, Amarta Aleihem or whatever, that refer to Gerim. But in other words, if it weren't for that, we would assume that the word Bnei Yisrael in a pasuk refers only to born Jews. But how do we know that not? Talmud by Maham Makriv. No, therefore the pasuk says, the one who offers, meaning no matter who it is that offers, even if he's a ger, or an Eved Meshacha. So the question is, That's the thing. I mean, for most purposes he is, but when the pasuk says, Dabar or Bnei Yisrael, and we're saying that the word Bnei Yisrael is a limiting thing, that it means not women, not goyim, etc., it wouldn't mean gerim or avodah meshachrarim unless we have some other ribui in the pasuk. And here we have, because it's a hamakri. So the question, not always, right. So the question is, how do you know that hamakriv means the owner who's offering the carbon? Maybe the word hamakriv refers to the kohen who's doing the avodah of the carbon. Maybe it means that only he does the snuff, or maybe the owner doesn't do the snuff at all. No, true. I'm a yodav to Vienna. No, but since the pasuk continues, his hands should bring. I read by the mamo, that means the owner. The hands of the owner, the hands of the one who's bringing the carbon have to wave the chaylev and the chol of the ship. Okay, so again, how do we get that? So Rebbe Lozman Yaakov learned it from Rebbe Lozman Yaakov before learned it from the Gzeira Shava. You were learning it. Well, that's what I'm saying. The word hamakriv means the thing is, maybe we could say the word hamakriv does mean the carbon, but then we have the word yodav to Vienna, so that clarifies it means the owner.
Yodav to mean also the carbon.
Yodav to Vienna, the Hamakriv of Yobias Kavan and Yodav to Vienna means his hands, meaning that the hands of the owner. Because otherwise it's extra anyway. But like this you have both. Like this you have Hamakriv meaning the Koyan and Yodav to Vienna, which means the owner. So therefore, okay, so Koyan many have the other tackles you have by the main it. So like we said before, the Koyan puts his hand under the owner's hand and they do the snooper together. Again. Literally hand under hand, as Rashi would say, or the owner's hands higher up and they're on the object and the kohen's hands lower down, like those. How do we accomplish this? Maniach kesad, so how do you do this? Maniach and murim, how do you pile them up? What's the order? Maniach and murim afisafayad, you start by putting the emurim on the palms of the hands of the owner. She says, yeah, it means the palm of the hand. The chaz of a shaykh, and then on top of them goes the chaz of a shaykh. And the chol mokam, sheyesh lechem, and in any korban that requires snufa, where there's also bread, halechem milamayla, then the bread goes on the top of everything else. First, not the animal. First the emurim, then the chaz of a shaykh, and then if there's bread, then that goes on top. For example, in the case of a toda, you have the bread that accompanies it, and there you have the chos of the shoyk, you have emurim, of course, every korban has emurim, and you also have the 40 loaves of bread, of which one of each type is given to the korban. So the bread goes on top. Same thing. No. Just one of each type. One of each of the four types. And the same thing. One challah, one rockish, one comet, one. I forget what the fourth type is, but yeah. The type. Where is it? Challah, matzah, kolos, b'shemen, or kikim, matzah, service, nevechas, challah. Yeah, you have two types of challahs, and then you have two types of challahs that are matzah. One which is comet, and one which is kikim. Okay. But yeah, also by the korban of a nazir, you have bread that comes along with it. Yeah, same idea. So the question is, Heicha, where do we see this, that the bread goes on top of everything else? How do you know dafka goes on the top? Amar apapa b'miluim, because the apapa says, because we find by the miluim, the pasuk mentions that they also had bread over there, they had matzahs that were meant to be brought along with the korban, and the pasuk says that they put the matzahs, they put the from the basket, they took one of each type, and they put on the chaylev and on the shirt. So we see that the bread goes on top, and from there we learn from all the cases.
First they put the chaylev.
First the chaylev, then the shirt, and then there, and then the matzahs.
So we just take it from the
miluim. So we learn it from the miluim, right. So once it says about the miluim, then we learn the same thing applies in other cases also. Okay. So the question is my type. Now why are we saying that it goes in that order, the chaz of a shoyk on top of the emurim? Maybe that should be the other way around. We said that the lechem goes on top, fine, but how do we know between the chaylev and the chaz of a shoyk, how do we know which one goes first? The pasuk just says that they put the bread al hachalovim ba'al shoyk hayomin on the chaylev and on the shoyk hayomin, but how do you know between those two which one goes first? Now how do you know that? Ilam mishum dichtiv shoyk atyum v'chazeyat snufa al ishe hachalovim yaviu. You're going to say, because again by the miluim it says and it says this is going to be a general rule from now on that the shoyk where the shoyk which is listed and then the chazer which is waved. Al ishe halavim yaviu, they will be brought on or together with the the chalev that's meant to go in the fire, lahonit snufa, to wave, so you're going to say, okay, al means therefore that the shoik and the chazer go on top of the chalev. But the problem is, we have another pasuk, v'achsiv et ha-chalev ala chazer yivyen. The pasuk that we were quoting before, that first introduces the concept of snufa, for private people's korbanos, says the other way around. It says the chalev should be brought on the chazer.
So
the pasuk by the Mimurim, the pasuk in Parshas Shmini mentions that the shoik and the chazer go al ishei achalovim. But the other pasuk previously in Parshas Tav mentions that the chalovim go on the chazer. So what is it?
Initially from the Mimurim, so we should continue taking from
the... Okay, but if we have, when the Torah introduces the concept of shnufa for shlomim in Parshas Tav, and it says as a chalov al hachazer yivyenu, then on the face of it, it means you have the chazer and then you put the chalov on top of that. What is it? So Amar Abayis, Abayis answers what that means. How who demaisi like koyin midbeis hamitzvachayim v'romilei? What it means is like this: the pasuk in Parashat Tzav, when it says the chazer first and then the chalev, it means that the koyin brings the pieces from the beis hamitzvachayim. You have the area in the azara where the animals were skinned and cut up and everything. So the koyin brings it in that order, the chazer with the chalev on top of it. And then he brings it like that, and then he puts it into the owner's hands, reversing the order. He takes it from his hands and he turns it over into the owner's hands, so it comes out upside down. It comes out chalev first, then chazer.
Initially,
he brings it chazer with chalev on top,
and then he turns it
upside down onto the owner's hands, and then yeah. Okay.
To satisfy both
of them, and then v'romilei, and then he puts it onto the owner's hands. Okay, but the
lechem also comes on.
Well, the lechem doesn't come from the Beit Mitzchayim. So the lechem, yeah. Okay. Then the question is, v'achsiv v'yasimu et ha-chalovim ala chazer. You have another pasuk also in Parashat Shmini, when it describes the korbanos of the miluim. It says they placed the chalev on the chazer. They placed the chalovim on the chazer and burnt them on the mizbeach. So now it sounds like when they're getting ready to put it on the mizbeach, the chalev is on top again. The answer is Ahud Yorva the Koyin Achrina. The answer is now what we do is after the snufa is done, you give it to another Koyin. And so again, you're flipping it back upside down, but also Makatya lay, and then he goes and burns them on the Mizbeach. But Hawk Mashmalon. So therefore, the Chiddush is, so now we have three Sukkim, in other words. Two of them say that the Chalev goes on top of the Chazer. One says that the Chazer goes on top of the Chalev. It means that there's multiple transfers taking place over here. We require three koyanim every time it flips. So you have one koyan, call him Reuven, bringing it from the base of Mitzvahayim. He flips first the chazer with the shkele vampa. Then he flips it over onto the owner's hand. The owner together with Shimon, with a koyan Shimon, do the snufa
with
the chalev on the bottom. Then they take it and flip it over to another koyin, call him Levi, with the chazer again on the bottom and the chalev on top. And that third koyin, Levi, is the one who goes and offers it on the mizbeach. Or rather, actually, he offers the chalev on the mizbeach, the chazer is eaten by the koyin.
Yeah. So when it goes to the mizbeach,
the chalev is on top, and that's then he, the chalev is on top.
Well,
so he picks it up, off the chalev, and throws it into the fire, I guess, yeah. So that teaches us that you need three coins. Mishum dechtiv v'roiv om hadras melach, because the pasuk says, and they were with a multitude of people as the honor of the king. So therefore, in other words, the more koyanim you have involved in the avodah, the nicer it looks, the more covered it is for Hashem. Mephoshim actually asked, you have a gemara in Yuma where you have an opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, speaking of him before, who says that actually in certain other cases, he says that not. He says, for example, not in this particular case, but he says as far as a different din that we say that usually the pieces of a korban are carried onto the kevesh and placed there, and then later on another koyanim takes them and other koyanim take them and bring them up to the top and throw them into the fire. Rav Lezman Yaakov argues that you shouldn't do that; that you should have the same koyanim who brought them to the kevesh should continue with that, because he says otherwise. Because he says it was two berov amadras melach, but he says the problem is if you have a different koyanim do it, then it makes it sound like it's a tircha to them. Well, we can't be bothered to take it any further. We'll leave it on the kevesh and we'll leave it up to them. So what is he? Why does the Gemara bring in his opinion over here? They have different mephoshim talk about that. He would say that he put one answer is he might say it's one thing in that case where it's two parts of the same avodah, essentially. It's taking it to the kevesh, which is just a way station, and then bringing up to the mizbeach. here where you have Tanufa in between, even Rebbe Leizman, which is a separate thing, even Rebbe Leizman Yaakov might agree that it doesn't show a bazillion, it's the opposite. It's really going to have Resmelach to have more Karim involved.
You have two
Because you have something in between. You're not just taking it from the base of Mitzvahim and then immediately putting it on the Mizbeach. You have in between. There's the Tanufa. Tosfos also brings the question that the Tzukim by the Miluim that we're saying over here, we're mentioning the Tzukim by the Miluim, and it says there that he placed everything on Aaron's hand. So in that case, two of the Tzukim that we brought, the two Tzukim that mentioned the Chelev on top of the Chazah, are talking about after it was placed on Aaron's hand. So in that case, again, you have the flip. If Moshe took them in one direction and then flipped them over to Aaron's hand, that's where it sounds, we would think. So both the Birkas HaZevach and the Tzukim called. Well, the problem with that is the Tzukim over there described the Chazah on the bottom and the Chelev on top, implying that that's how it was after it came into Aaron's hand, Aaron being effectively the owner of the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
So both the Tosfos leaves it without an answer. Both the Birkas HaZevach and the...
And there were two over there, not three.
Well, okay, no, you could have Aaron's sons involved as well, but the point is that, and besides, okay, since there's no other anybody available, Moshe could take over the role of the third one. That's not the issue. The point is that the point is that we, on the face of it, once it gets into Aaron's hand, it flips. And then it's not like the prophet says, cause them, okay. No, the answer, so Tosfos leaves it without an answer, but both the Birkas HaZevach and the Tzion Kodeshim explain that in this particular case, the prophet is implying that Moshe gave it to Aaron in the same order in which he had it in his hand. He didn't flip it.
It was a Rasha.
And basically it was a Rasha. And the Mishnah continues. We said more things that have to be waved are the Shtei Alechem together with the two Kvasim of Shavuos. So now we're going to talk about what order are they placed in. Turn it up on them. The Hainif HaKoyin Osem Al Lechem Abikurim. The Pasuk says the Koyin should wave them, the Shtei Alechem, the Kvasim, Al, meaning that on the face of it means on the Lechem Abikurim. So on the face of it, it means that you put the Kvasim on top of the Shtei Alechem. So it sounds like that's what you should be doing. You put the bread first, and then... Maybe not, but that's not the point. You would think that that's the order. No, because on the other hand, the Pasuk also says over there that you have to have the bread. Now, al, again, means on, so therefore just the opposite. It means the bread is on the kvasim. So you have a deadlock over here. So the psukim are evenly balanced. You have two psukim. One that says that the lechem is on the bikurim. Actually it's both in the same topic. So the two halves of the pasuk, are equally balanced. Yeah. So what is it? Does the bread go on top of the kvasim or the other way around? So we have to figure it like this. Ma matzinu b'chomokim. So let's make a binyan ab, just like we find in every other case, lechem l'mayla, that the bread goes on top, as we said at the top of the amud. Akan lechem l'mayla. Therefore, to break the deadlock, we have to say the same thing over here. It means the bread goes on top.
So what do you do with that?
So one second. First of all, Heicha, where do we see that concept? Amar Papa Miluim, so the Papa says because we see by the Miluim, where the Pasuk said where the Pasuk clearly said that the bread, the Matzah, went on top. Yeah, so then okay, so before we mention that in a different context, here's where the Papa mentions that again. Okay. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi ben Amashulam, the Kvasim Lamayla. No, Rabbi Yossi ben Amashulam says the Kvasim go on top. Umani Makayim Al Shnei Kvasim. So what do you do with the words Al Shnei Kvasim? All it means is Lahoti Shiva. He says all it means is the Pasuk wants to tell you you shouldn't think. Remember we talked about before that on that day of Shavuot you have actually besides the two Kvasim that are accompanying the Lechem Abayim that are the Shalmei Tzibur that are a part and parcel of the Lechem Abayim. You also have seven Kvasim that are brought in an Ola that are part of a larger Korban that accompanies the Shtei Alechem, but they're not an intrinsic part of it. So you would think that maybe you have to wave all nine of them together. But no, Rabbi Yosef ben Amishulam says, when it says Al Shnei Kvasim, all it means is you should know you only have to wave the two, the Shtei Alechem together with the two Kvasim of the Shlomim and not with the seven sheep of the Ola. But not that the Pasuk is implying that the bread should be on top of the Kvasim. In fact, he says that Kvasim should be on top of the Lechem. So that's why he says just Al Shnei Kvasim means as opposed to the other seven Kvasim. But the actual order, he says, would be, the actual order would be al lechem abikurim, as it says at the beginning of the pasuk, that he should wave it with the kvasim on top of the lechem. Chanina ben Chachinai, remember? Well, we're going to see. We have a number of opinions over here. We have the Tanakama of the Braita saying that the bread goes on top. We have Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam saying that the kvasim go on top. Chanina ben Chachinai, remember? Here's a third opinion. Chanina ben Chachinai says, Maniach shtei alechem ben yachitzei and shal kvasim. You put the shtei alechem between the legs of the kvasim. In other words, Rashi describes, you don't do the waving of the kvasim, you don't hold them upright. You lay them down on their sides. Mm-hmm. And then you put the lechem on the lower leg, the one that you have one leg that's directly on his hand. Then you put the lechem on him there, and then you have the other leg lying on top of that. So that way you have one leg, two lechems. So therefore it's a lechem is sandwiched in between. Umenif, and then you do hanafa, then you do chnufa, then nimsa makayim, shnei mekaras halalo. That way, says Rav Chanina ben Chachinai, you're being makayim both sukkim, lechem agabe kvasim, or kvasim agabe alechem. However, Omar Rebbe, but Rebbe says that doesn't work. The name Melach Basav Adamin, Eisim Chain. You wouldn't even do that in front of a human king to put the bread between the two legs of an animal. Lifnei Melach Nacha Amachem Akadosh Baruch Hu, Eisim Chain. You're telling me we should be doing that in front of Hashem? Ella, no. So says Rebbe, Maniach Zeh B'Tzad Zeh Umeinim. No, all it means is you put the lechem next to the kvasim.
One second, I'll
bring in an owl. The question is, what about the fact that it says owl? Or others say it was the other way around. Rav Hamnuna says to Rav Chista, Rebbe L'taymei. There's more than one Rav Hamnuna in chat, but the two different versions could be whether Rav Hamnuna was the Talmud or the Rebbe. Anyway, Rebbe L'taymei. Rebbe is going according to his own Svara, the Omar, where he says later on in our Masechta, al means the sum. The word al doesn't always mean on, it can mean next to. No, we mentioned it briefly before, and we're going to see later on in our Masechta. Well, I don't remember, but I remember bringing it up and you arguing vociferously about it. When it comes to the lechem apon, the pasuk says v'nasata al hamareches levoina zata. So where the spoonfuls of levoina go? We're going to have later on in our Masechta. We're going to have a machloekas. Do they go on top of the stacks of lechem apon, or do they go next to them between the stacks? A part of that depends on the question. Yes, so the question is, what does the word al mean? So the Tanya, as we learn in a Braita, when the Pasuk says, Nasata al amareches levoina zaka, when the Pasuk says you should place al, which literally means on, the staff, you should put pure levoina, Rebbe and al besomach. Rebbe says that the word al doesn't mean on, it means next to. After omer al besomach, so you're saying that the word al means next to, or ena el al mamash, maybe it means literally on top of. No, I'll give you an example to the contrary. The pasuk says that you should make the parochas be a screen on the oron. Now the parochas is exactly, that's the point. It's not on the oron, it's in front of it. Heavy omer. So therefore, heavy omer, al besomach. So there you have to say that there's an example where the word al can mean next. I didn't remember that example all the time. The example that's brought later in the Masechta is v'olav mate menashe, where the pasuk describes the encampment of the 12 shvatim, and it says you have the encampment of Ephraim, and v'olav, and onis is Menashe, which means next to that, right? Exactly. That's Mechumash. But besides that, also, so, you know, as far we can't learn like Zeh Shabbos or whatever from Mechumash to Nach, to understand the meaning of a word. Yeah, that's it. So we have four opinions in summary. We have Tanakama of the Braita saying that the lechem goes on top. We have Chanina ben Chachinai saying that the kvasim go on top. Sorry, we have Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam saying that the kvasim go on top. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai saying that you sandwich it in between, and Rebbe saying that they go next to each other. The Rambam asks him for Rebbe. Partly it's because halacha could Rebbe mechaveh, right? When you have Rebbe against an individual tanoim, the halacha is like him. Part of that is also, I think we have later on, we have another. Doesn't matter, mechaveh just means then other tanoim. The pashtos, they were all the same period, though. But another reason is we're going to have later on Abba Scholl, who holds like Rebbe in this regard, that Al can be next to. Although it's interesting, actually, there's a mimer from the Mitzvah or whatever, there's a mimer about Shavuos, where he discusses the deeper idea of the Shkei Alechem and the Kvasim, and he seems to take the understanding in the mimer that the Kvasim, in fact, go on top of the Lechem, like Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam is saying over here. So I don't know why he's taking that particular view of Ben Amshulam passing like that, but in any case, he explains that I guess the answer is because we have to understand the opinions that aren't accepted either. But anyway, he explains the idea is Lechem Aponim. He explains the deeper idea is not the Lechem Aponim. The Shkei Lechem represent Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. The Kvasim represent the world that we have to be Mavarev. So therefore, we put them on top of the Torah in the sense we're lifting up the Torah. We're joining the Torah back to its source in Hashem. And along with it, we lift up the rest of the world represented by the Kvasim.
Can't you say that the Lechem is Gaia and the Kvasim is
Bitul,
and therefore...
I don't know if the Kvasim necessarily represent Bitul. I mean, it is... maybe, I don't know. It's true. I mean, it's true that the Lechem Aponim are made from chomets, implying that we're able to use that in other... Yeah, maybe in other places we talk about that, but not in that particular mind. Okay. Then we said... We said that you wave the kvasim and the lechem in all six directions. So amar abchiba abba amar abchiba moilachom mevi, you do it back and forth, meaning in the four cardinal directions, north, south, east, west. Malo morid, you do it up and down. So you're doing it in all six directions. Amar abchiba abba amar abchiba. Why are you doing that? Moilachom mevi. Why do you do the halacha v'hava, the back and forth, the four directions, is to represent that you're offering the korban to Hashem, to whom all the winds or all the directions belong. Malo murdered, and you're doing it up and down, to represent that you're offering the korban to Hashem, to whom the heavens and the earth belong. So by waving it in all six directions, we acknowledge that Hashem is the master over all six directions. Up and down, and all four directions.
The ruchas.
The mishal ruchas shaloi, Hashem, to whom all sides, all directions belong.
Malo
murid. The mishal shemayim v'aretz shaloi, to Hashem, to whom the heavens and the earth belong. The maruch. You're doing it in honor of the one of Hashem, to whom all the directions belong. All the directions in the world belong to Hashem.
Yeah.
They're all under his control. Milo murdered. Lamisha Shemayim Va'aretz Shelo. You're doing it up and down in honor of, to show allegiance to Hashem, to whom the heavens and the earth belong. The Ma'arav and Machnu. That was
just the heaven and earth. We just said Murid Milo. We wouldn't have
Milo to Shemayim and Murid to Aretz.
We do it forward and backward.
Also, Lamisha Ruches Shelo. You knew that also all the directions, north, south, east, and west, also belong to Hashem. And I'm not seeing what's not understandable about that.
If you say Eretz Yishamayim, that's one thing. If you say the four ruchos, this is our world.
Right, so you're mentioning both. You're mentioning our...
So first you should say our world, and then you should say Lemala and Lemata.
Okay, so why are you doing it and what doing it? Why are you doing first one and then the other? Okay, but the point is, you're doing it in all six directions to show that Hashem is the master of all of it. In Eretz Yisrael, rather, they learned it differently. You do it in the four cardinal directions, that Hashem should hold back bad, harmful winds that come from the four directions. Well, okay, maybe. You do up and down, in order that Hashem should hold back bad dew. Like, yeah, dew is normally a good thing, but sometimes you have that dew can be harmful. Okay. And here's where Tosis mentioned what I was saying before, that therefore we do it by the wool of, because the same idea, Hashem judges us with a chag midran and alamayim, so we're judged regarding rainfall for the year, so therefore...
By the wool of, we do east, west...
Actually, by the wool of, we do right and left, first we're facing east. Right, so we're doing south and north, right, like Api Kabbalah. Okay, so over here...
It's in a different order.
Well, it all amounts to the same thing. You're still doing it in all six directions, right?
Sure,
okay, so why you do it in that particular direction is Api Kabbalah. Chesed, Gvura, Tzedes, whatever, but yeah. Could be over here. Chesed is to the right, the Gvura to the left. Yeah, Tzedes, forward, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But, anyway. You have different minhagim on that also. Minhag Ashkenazes, they do it in clockwise order, I think, or maybe times are clockwise, I don't remember, and then up and then down.
Some, they go really in one direction, east, north.
That's what I'm saying. So they go counterclockwise. I understand. Right. Okay. So the minhag of the Velt is they do it counterclockwise, and then they do up and down. So Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Avin says, Zoysei Meret, you see from this, that we're saying that Shnufa helps with that Hashem should hold back harmful winds and harmful dews. Shiori Mitzvah Ma'akimah Azakaranim. Even like the secondary aspects of a mitzvah that could be left out without affecting the kashrus of the mitzvah, even those are enough to hold back punishment. The Shnufa Shiori Mitzvah, because after all, Shnufa is only the secondary, only the leftover part of the mitzvah. If you don't do Shnufa, the Kohen is still kosher. But it's said, and yet we see from what we just said that it has the ability that it to give us the chus that Hashem should hold back harmful winds and harmful dews.
Even if you do it incompletely?
No, in other words, even the fact that you're doing it, even though it's not required, even though it's not absolutely indispensable, it's not indispensable, nevertheless, you do it and it has that effect. How much more so the parts of the mitzvah that are indispensable is the point. Okay. Speaking of raving, so we just said rave the lulav in all six directions. Rav Acha bar Yaakov mamsilei umaisilei. Rav Acha bar Yaakov would rave the lulav back and forth. And Tosfos discusses over here that the Moloch maybe can actually mean, Mamti means he would bring it closer, or Mamti means they would do it outward, or Maisilei, and then bring it back. And Tosfos discusses three times, which is where we get the minute to do it three times in each direction. Or Machvi Hochi, and he would indicate as follows, for Omer, he would say, Gira Be'ein of the Sotna. This should be an arrow in the eye of the Sotna. However, whenever he waves his lulav, I make the bracha, he do the waving, and he say this should be an arrow in the southern side. However, the Gemara says v'lav milsi, it's not correct to say that. Mishum de'osi le'isgurui be, because if you talk like that, then it can make the southern like lav drabah redouble his efforts. You want to put arrows in my eyes, and I'll doubt to make stronger efforts to get you. So actually, Mephoshim points out, so what's Rav Acha bar Yaakov thinking then? The difference is, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the Gemara mentions in Kiddushin, that Rav Acha bar Yaakov was an exceptionally high-level tzaddik, and nisim could be done for him. The Gemara mentions the story over there, where he one time went into a haunted Beit Medrash and killed a shed over there. So he could say such a thing. It's in Kiddushin. So he could say such a thing without it haunting him. But for the rest of us, better. Of course, we have to fight the thought and we have to fight the Yitzhahara, but not overtly going towards him. Exactly right. We have to realize that we're only what we're able to accomplish against the thought is only with Hashem's help, and then therefore not act as if like we're going to taunt him and trash talk him. Yeah.
By the way, we tried to trick him, but not
to trick him is one thing, but not the terrain.
Right.